Before we get started here, I just wanted to acknowledge Greg Menna with Brown and Caldwell and Delmonte, especially Tim Ruby, co-author. Delmonte supported this work, and we'll be looking into essentially this land treatment facility. Based on the previous talks, I don't know if you're all familiar with what a land treatment facility is. You use processed water and apply it to this 70-acre parcel. The processed water comes from canned peaches, zucchini. It's rinse water. It's pretty good stuff. This facility is not located in a moist condition like George or Rhonda's facilities. This is in the Central Valley of California. It's very hot. It's very dry. And so here you have a surface water body, the Kings River, going right by. You have shallow groundwater at this facility. And basically, you have a high groundwater table. And some of the concerns that the regulators expressed was, despite the continued improvements in the operation in the plant itself, in the Kingsburg, California plant, despite the continued compliance and all the other improvements in the plant, there was concern with groundwater impacts. This facility, you know, had a high groundwater table and very sugary water that we were applying. And, you know, like any other operation, some folks get the funding and some others don't. The land operation, the land treatment facility, didn't always get all the funding that it could use. The process plant was the moneymaker. And so essentially, the regulatory concerns from the groundwater perspective were excessive BOD, which stands for biochemical oxygen demand, or high carbon, which could lead to reducing conditions, solubility of iron and manganese, and we won't get into that too much, but like any other facility, there's also concern with excessive nitrogen salt loading and hydraulic loading. Now, in regards to the you know, the land treatment facility itself, you know, prior to the discussions with the regulators in late 2006, we were looking at a basically a flood irrigation system. Excuse me for not describing the soil. We were dealing basically with a fine sandy loam, and it had quite a bit of silt in it. With a flood irrigation system prior to 2008, it was really difficult to get even water distribution on the field. And with a high groundwater table, once again, that's critically important. We also grew annual crops, probably wheat and Bermuda grass, or not Bermuda, but Sudan grass in the summertime. And as part of what Delmonte wanted to do, a critical issue was to install a center pivot irrigation system. And here it is. And they also modified the, you know, the crop. We went to a Bermuda grass, which can be cut for hay and used by cattle and has some productive use. And it also avoids the bare soil periods. So it's constantly evapotranspiring, except for perhaps, you know, December, January time frame. So what are we talking about here in terms of this vadosome monitoring? Unlike, you know, George and Rhonda, I was looking at a number of vadosome monitoring types of equipment. And again, the objective of this monitoring was to evaluate the effectiveness of the sprinkler system, the overhead center pivot sprinkler system. So we wanted to intensively look at the vadosome. And so what we had is, essentially, we had clusters of monitoring devices at about 2 and 4 feet below ground surface. And you know, we went in and took samples monthly for soil pore liquid with a conventional suction vacuum lysimeter. In addition to that, we had some kind of innovative work with obtaining soil gas measurements, again, on a monthly basis for soil pore liquid and soil gas. Soil moisture was collected with TDR probes basically on a continuous basis. And we installed this equipment in July of 2008. And like every good project, it starts with a backhoe. And here's some of our work in process here. Again, we were installing these clusters as horizontally as we could to get around the soil disturbance above these clusters and to minimize the, you know, the movement of the soil and impacts to the, you know, the structure. Here's what it looks like, a nice little, basically a canopy to avoid the degradation of the sun, drainage, and actually we did have some vermin issues, but I won't get into those right now. Essentially, what we found in the earlier slide is that water management is key. Now, I know this is a very scientifically based instrumentation type of crowd here, but essentially what we found is that for a land treatment facility in an arid area, if you manage the water, you can have a successful operation. And just a few notes, I apologize for the scale here. Some of you might not be able to see this, but you know, we looked at crop ET in red, the red histograms. This is the summertime of 2008, and here's the summertime of 2009. The pale green is actually irrigation water, and you have that one spike probably because we were installing the center pivot, we were adjusting it, and you know, that was explains that pike that spike. We didn't use a whole lot of irrigation. We wanted to drought stress the Bermuda grass so that it would take up the wastewater. And again, the wastewater application basically occurs in these brackets here in the summertime for, you know, the month of July, you know, August and September. So, you know, digging down again, non-instrumentation, but digging down again into our system, I mean, we could look at the net water balance, the net evaporation, and what we found is we did a fairly good job, you know, with the exception of that June 2008 when we're calibrating our equipment. You see on the y-axis, you know, evaporation in inches, net evaporation most of the year. You have some periods, surprisingly, in the hot summer where you have a little bit of infiltration. But we did a good job in managing the infiltration. And that's proven out in the TDR, the continuous reading soil moisture data. And here's where some of the conventional and some of the innovative procedures really start to work. We use conventional soil samples, drive samples to obtain, you know, total porosity, one-third bar field capacity, and permanent wilting point. The blue measurements are the four-foot cluster of TDR measurements, and the red is the two-foot. So it's drier at 2 feet, again, with soil volumetric water content on the y-axis and time on the x-axis. So we see initial, after we get our equipment going, we see initial decline in soil moisture and even a smaller bump of soil moisture in the process season in the second year. But really happy with these results because you can see the downward trend. So now we move on to lysimeters, and I know we have a couple of fans of lysimeters here. I, unfortunately, because of my long years of service, I'm not one of them. The pressure vacuum lysimeters that we use are very dependent on the soil type, and when you deal with a lighter soil, you're going to get drier conditions and less retained soil moisture. And so I'm just showing this graph here. You guys won't be able to read it, but what you might be able to see is there's a lot of empty boxes. Those empty boxes represent times where we went out, we tried to collect, and unlike George, we had problems collecting moisture. The green is the 2 feet, and the blue is the 4 foot below ground surface. Okay, so here's a close-up again. Here's some of our analytes here. Essentially, we did EC, in the field and pH, but everything else got sent to the lab on a priority basis. Okay. So moving along here, what we have is, we graphed up our lysimeter results with concentration on the x-axis and depth along the y-axis here. And what you show from these lysimeter results is that EC in the circles and TDS, total dissolved solids, declines with depth. The blue bar is essentially the groundwater concentrations, the groundwater concentrations for monitoring wells. Individual salt constituents were kind of all over the place. They generally decline. We have a log scale on the x-axis. But again, pore liquid in the vadozone for salt is higher than groundwater. In terms of total organic carbon, which was our real concern, all these three graphs here show total organic carbon, iron, and manganese. And it shows the pore liquid compared to the groundwater. The groundwater, the dashed line that you see in all three of these graphs, represents the background condition. And our pore liquid samples for TOC were higher, but our iron and manganese were lower. That means that there's no way you're getting leaching from the vadozone into the groundwater, as perhaps some folks fear. So again, this next graph is a little bit of out of left field for some of you, but this is where we took our soil gas samples. And the closed symbols, both at 2 feet and 4 feet, the closed symbols are CO2, and the open symbols are oxygen. And so in the first year, when we were adjusting our equipment, overloading a little bit with our irrigation, you had high CO2 and very low oxygen. When we corrected our equipment, our center pivot, you see oxygen coming back, and making a comeback. And it's almost at ambient levels in the atmosphere. So we're very happy with that. We could talk about that at length if anybody's interested. But in summary, what we found for our food processors is that water management is the key. And that in the case of, constant measurement of soil moisture, conventional and more of the innovative can work together pretty well. But, unfortunately, out here in the West, in the arid situations, pressure vacuum lysimeters provide great data, very interesting, but it's not really reliable out here for us. And we had some fun and had some innovative data with generated by our soil gas measurements, and it just proved that our BOD loading was appropriate. So I'm over on time. With that, I'll take questions.
Got time for one long question or two quick questions? Other questions? Oh. Do you have any sensors for excavating the backhoe? Do you feel fairly confident they did have any voices to the left or to the right of that disturbed area?
Backhoe's a blunt instrument. I mean, I'm sure there were minor, but what we did is we drilled horizontally into the soil. So we did the best we could with hand tools and to minimize that effect.
How far would you say the left?
About a foot and a half, 2 feet.
Okay.